Blog Talk Radio.
Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam, sir.
And in the name of Allah, the Benignant, Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed the exalted Christ, he who was raised from among us, to save that which is lost. And in the name of their divine reminder, our leader, teacher, and guide, he who wears the mantle of Massey or Messiah, today in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to welcome everyone to Put On the New Man, our live study group. And without further ado, I want to give you our host, Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Kareem. And as always, brother, I am very grateful and thankful to Allah for your presence and your contribution that you have made and that which you're going to make tonight and beyond by the help of Allah. I want to greet Brother Reginald. I think I heard your voice, Brother Reginald X.
Sir, yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. And I believe and I hope and pray that I heard my dear sister and Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Are you there, Queen?
As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. You see, what we have here, by the grace of Allah, is the great. I got to think of a good rhyme for this tremendous trio. Tremendous trio is not enough. I got to think of something that will aptly be applied to these three wonderful, 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 and informative and highly spiritual brothers and sisters on this show who I always want to hear these three permanently on my own, whatever show Allah blesses me to host. So thank you. All praise is due to Allah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I of course, always invoke the name of Allah and pray for the help of Allah in these opening salutational words. And they are, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but He. And we are forever grateful and thankful to Almighty God Allah for making His presence and person and power made manifest in the person of Master Farad Muhammad to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, because many were there, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was there, but only he recognized him for who and what he was and is.
That's right.
The Lord of the world. We thank Allah for raising up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Messiah, the Exalted Christ, Messenger of Allah. He is all of that and some, as he has been nurtured by Allah God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, making him, Elijah, into himself. Where at this stage of his development, we know him to be the resurrected, ascended, and exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. Little did the majority of us know or even believe once we heard that this one would not come in the form of the popularized image propagated by our enemies, but he would be and is a black man from among the former slaves. And even less did we anticipate that he would be a Muslim. And we thank Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful, indescribable, marvelous example of a human being, a savior, a deliverer, a redeemer, and a warner to the black man and woman of America, black people and people of color all over the world, and to the entire family of the human race, if you will. I didn't want to say it like that, but the entire human family of the planet Earth. That man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my great, great honor and privilege to once again greet our three participant panelists, hosts, and engineers, and our beloved listening and participating audience with the greeting words of peace. We say it again in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. All praise is due to Allah. I'm pretty fired up by Allah's grace tonight. And of course, the blame for that lies quite firmly at the feet of our dear sister and her show last night, where we were blessed to participate in the show. And
that's
we talked about the dry bones in the valley, primarily Ezekiel chapter 37. We want to continue with part two of this discussion by the help of Allah, and we want to also discuss chapter 47 or Surah 47 in the Holy Quran, which means or deals with war. The name of that chapter, of course, is Muhammad. But the second name of that chapter is called Qital or War. And we want to get into why exactly the 47th chapter is entitled War. What is its purpose? We want to talk about the right given to us by Almighty God Allah, expressed in Surah, I believe it's Surah 2, verse 178, our right of retaliation when we are aggressed again. We have a right to retaliate, particularly when we do not receive equal justice under the laws of the land and in the courts of law. So we want to talk about all of that with the help of Allah. Of course, the central focus, the foundational information that we are drawing the rest of this scriptural and prophetic support from is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's now historic message he delivered Savior's Day 2014 at the Joe Louis Arena, entitled, How Strong is Our Foundation? Can We Survive? And so by the grace of Allah, this will be a very power-packed, highly spiritual discussion. Of course, we want to engage our listening audience on the phones and those of you who are in the chat rooms. We want to go all out. We want to hear from you, and we want to hear from all. So all praises due to Allah. For those of us who witnessed the Savior's Day address or viewed the Savior's Day address, we remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's focus on now how we as a people, being now responsible for our condition and responsible for whatever hurt, injustice, inequity, lack of freedom that we now suffer, we can no longer blame or point the finger of blame to the white man or to any other man, because the responsibility to achieve these natural rights rests firmly on the black man and woman's shoulder, and until and unless we act on behalf of the truth fearlessly,
right.
And confidently under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his wise and divine guidance, we will continue to
That's
suffer
right. That's
these
right.
injustices, these inequities, these deprivations of freedom. It's on our shoulders, brothers and sisters. That
right.
does not mean that our open enemies, Yaku's children, the Caucasian, is not responsible and not culpable and not at fault for the conditions that we now suffer. You know, as we go throughout our work trying to assist the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in getting the message out to our people and to all people, all who would have ears and listen, oftentimes those whites who have a little knowledge about the Nation of Islam, they will say, well, you all don't like us, and you all blame us for what happened to you in the transatlantic slave experience. And, of course, their defense is, I wasn't even born. My father wasn't even born. So I don't have any responsibility for that or fault for that. Well, let us look at the circumstances of the verdict many years ago handed down on our brother O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right,
Much
sir.
To the chagrin and disappointment and even savage hatred of the broader population of whites. However, even though he was acquitted, they took him to another court and told him that he was responsible. Now, how are you not guilty of a crime, innocent of a crime, but now responsible for that same crime? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that's a distinction without a difference. However, the minister said, as he continued on that line, he said, if you want to use that premise, then on that same premise, those of you who say you weren't around when we suffered the actual servitude and slavery and brutality of the transatlantic slave experience, those of you who say you're not guilty, okay, you're not guilty, but you are responsible. You are now living a privileged life, or I wouldn't say privileged life, there are many whites who are not, but you are in a privileged position as a result of the egregious act and work of your forefathers. You're in a privileged position. And as such, you have an obligation and a responsibility in this and the consequences of and the results of the transatlantic slave experience. So if you can find O.J. not guilty but responsible, then we have a greater right, a divine right, to find you not guilty but certainly responsible. So we got to talk now, by the grace of Allah, under the leadership and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, about how we get justice. Who are we scripturally and prophetically? And what did Allah God determine according to our condition and the healing thereof and the correcting thereof and the deliverance and redemption from thereof? So let's get started. Let's get rolling. I'm going to turn the mic over to our brother Kareem. Brother Kareem, I know you're wearing a couple of hats tonight, but please, brother, your opening statement. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum salam. Well, yes, sir. And I want to first thank you for allowing me to be here and participate in this discussion, this most vital discussion. And we must understand that the time that we are in is a time like has never before been in the history of our planet. And that history I'm talking about is not just the past 6,000 years, but goes back into the trillions of years. Now, I know for some that may be hard for them to conceive of, but that is because to the general public, those who are currently in power or have been in power, they only want you to look at the past 6,000 years because that is the extent or the time of their accomplishments. But we have been on the planet for trillions of years. So the time that we are in now, and our topic being the Valley of the Dry Bones, we have to understand, well, we have to be able to identify who the dry bones are. But I think even more importantly, after identification, we have to understand exactly what was God's purpose or what is God's purpose in allowing these dry bones or these individuals who have become dry bones, so who are once living and who are now dead, to get into this condition. What is or was his purpose? There is no greater, and we've heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say this, also heard the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say this, that after who God is, learning that information, then the next thing that is most important is to learn who we are, what our identity is. And once we establish that, then we can see our way clear to understand what we're supposed to be doing at this particular time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just recently completed 58 weeks of a lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. It's not a coincidence that the Honorable, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I believe it was in 59, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but he did a lecture, and I believe it was a Savior's Day lecture, entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. It's not an accident.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Many individuals, it doesn't shock me anymore, but it used to shock me and surprise me when the minister would say certain things and he's going in depth and he's breaking it down. I mean, I use this analogy all the time. He's taking the teachings like a mother bird would do when she goes out to get the food for the little birds in the nest. And she gets the food and then chews it up and pre-digests it and then feeds it to the little birds. Well, the minister has done that with the teachings. So there's no reason for anybody to say they don't understand. If you don't understand, that's because you don't want to understand. You know, your mind is somewhere. But the thing is, and I want to wrap this up because we need to get into our topic that the brother has chosen for us. The thing is that if you really listen to and study what the minister has been teaching since 1977, since 1977, he has not left those wonderful books, Message to the Black Man, The Fall of America, Our Savior Has Arrived, How to Eat to Live, nor the lecture series given by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Theology of Time. He hasn't even left out of there. But individuals are like, he's teaching something new. No, we just have been so lazy, we haven't taken the time to study and show ourselves approved.
That's right.
So it is time now. That's why he said he's going to prophesy unto the winds, just as he's being instructed. The Son of Man is instructed. I was getting ready to say Surah, chapter 37 of Ezekiel. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Kareem. Thank you for that wonderful opening remark and talking point, actually, to be talked about further on in the show by Allah's grace.
Yes, sir.
Right, we want to turn the floor over to our brother, Brother Reginald. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. And wa alaikum salam to you as well, Brother Kareem. And of course, wa alaikum salam to you, Sister Beloved Queen Aziza. And I just want to stop for 1 second and say, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and also the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to remind us that heaven lies at the foot of woman. Sister Queen Aziza, thank you. I want to personally and humbly thank you for putting me in heaven, because you are heaven. When you look at us,
oh,
that is blessed with the wisdom of these teachings, the spirit to speak and teach and minister unto the people on the basis of these teachings, it is so attractive. It is so, it is just so joyful to the spirit, soul, and the essence that God has put in each and every one of us. So I just want to thank you in the name of Almighty God Allah for giving us this platform to resurrect, elevate, and bring our people into the knowledge of truth, just truth. We can just leave it at that, of truth that has got to be spoken of in this day. Thank you, Brother James, for allowing me to come on your show and speak my 2 or 3 cents. In the name of Allah, and I thank you so much for the wonderful words you said about me in the introduction, and also I thank you, Brother Kareem, for allowing me to be in your presence with all the mighty wisdom and power in your spirit that you have. But let me start appropriately. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I thank Almighty God Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, for intervening in our affairs, the black man and woman in the wilderness of North America, and finding one among us, and raising one among us, teaching him for 3 years and 4 months how to elevate and raise and get our people out of a savage condition and state. That man is none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ and Messiah. And I thank Almighty God Allah again and again and again and again for leaving with us in our midst, our current reality, the most honorable, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm sorry, I say most honorable because he can't be nothing less in my lifetime than the most honorable, because he can't be any less than what his father is. But I'll keep it right. The honorable minister.
No, you're right, brother.
Farrakhan.
Continue. Allah guide you and inspire you to say that. You are not wrong.
That's
and
right.
Certainly
that's
he
right.
is the most honorable among us.
That's right.
No, for sure. No apology necessary, brother. You're right on time.
All praises be to Allah. And thank Almighty God for leaving me, us, the real image of Jesus, the real man that speaks truth to power, the real man that predicts, prophesies, and everything he says comes to pass, whether you hear it or forbear it. It is in their 3 righteous and holy and wonderful and glorious names that I greet everybody in the listening audience with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Shalom and assalam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you, Brother Reginald, so much. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah.
Tonight I'm going to try to be more meek in my presentation, Brother James, on addressing this wonderful, timely and sincere topic that we are speaking of tonight, which we got a part 2, but we may have to have a part 3 and 4. You know, I want to take that subject over to my hosting show on Sunday, because it's got to be talked about every day. It's got to be, because it's a need for it. But I'm going to stop here and let you go ahead and follow the outline of your show, because I'm sure you have a wonderful and powerful outline already, and I don't want to get ahead of the topic. But I thank you once again, and I thank you, Brother Kareem, and I thank you, beloved Sister Queen Aziza. As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Reginald. Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful statement, opening remarks. I also want to extend the opportunity to my dear sister and Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. If you'd like to make an opening statement or give a talking point, whatever you want to do.
Well, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah, and I miss. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in the listening audience. And I do have my chat room open, and those of you on the phones, and, of course, our distinguished host and panelists in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. Well, I want to first say, Brother Reginald, those words touched me so very deeply, and thank you, dear brother. All praise is due to Allah. And, of course, I love and appreciate all of you so very much. You are my family, and you're very near and dear to me. So I love you all, and I thank you for those kind words. I just want to say, in pertaining to the topic, that in developing the promotions for the show, I titled it, excuse me, Who Will Give Life
mm-hmm.
to the Dry Bones?
Mm.
And I titled it that for a particular reason. And that is because as much as the minister has given us throughout the years, as much as the messenger, when he was among us, has given us throughout those years, they are not the only voices that are being heard. And it's important that we are able to distinguish the voice that is bringing life to the dry bones, because we have other voices that are making the bones drier.
Come on,
Queen.
So we need to be able to distinguish the word of God. And the truth of the word of God is what will bring life to those dry bones. And through your test, through your trials, you need to be able to grab on to that sustenance, to that meat, to that meal, and swallow that and have that as a part of your operating fuel, because in your trial is also misleading information. People who are appearing to be godly or saviors or whatever. So we have to know when we hear the word of God, because we hear so much. And we have so many people who don't know where to turn. So how do you verify the truth? You verify the truth by the actions of the man who speaks it.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
So we are so blessed. And Allah is so merciful, because we are all so undeserving. We are so blessed to have the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan still here amongst us, and we are so blessed to have had these teachings for over 84 years, and so that is the base of our foundation, and now the time has come for us to move forward, to stand up and be that army and stand on what we believe in. But first, we have to hear the word of God, and we have to hear it from God's man. So I pray that we make it clear who will rule the nation, who will bring the nations together and make it one nation, and who will be the king of kings of that nation. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the topic, and thank you for the time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. Thank you for those wonderful opening remarks. All right, we want to engage our listening and participating audience, and I'd like to, by the grace of Allah, read actually, and we're going to do this as succinctly and as clearly as possible by the grace of Allah. Brevity being the operant principle as we move forward in this great discussion by the grace of Allah. In chapter 37, and of course we always seek refuge in Allah when we read from both divine scriptures, the Bible, gospel, and the Holy Quran. So we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel. And carried out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So you know it's not talking about literal bones. Because literal bones, particularly if they're dry, that means they're old.
That's right.
They have no ears to hear. So you know right off that this is symbolism, referencing a people whose condition reflects that of a dry bone or dry bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, how do you insert breath into bones? They have no faculty with which to blow breath into. They don't have a mouth. They don't have a nose. Again, this is a symbolic reference.
That's right.
And I will lay, the word of God continues, sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh, and will bring up flesh on you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us, as we reference the question you posed, rather rhetorically, Queen Aziza, as to why Allah God allowed us to come to this condition. The answer, very succinctly, is in these words. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Evidently, these people, symbolized by dry bones in the valley, one of the aspects of their condition was they did not know God.
Uh-huh.
Now, that is interesting.
That's right. Yes,
they didn't know the true God, and so there was something that he had to do to make his presence, power, and existence and person known.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. after he breathes, not only breathes life, but puts sinews upon these bones and will bring up flesh on the bones and cover you with skin, meaning I'm reconstructing you as a people.
Minister.
And put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall then know, after I've done all of this, that I am the Lord. Okay, I want to stop right there, and I want to get into some responses or comments from the audience. We're going to read this whole chapter. It's not very long, and then we're going to transition from the Bible, which is in large part known, to the Holy Quran, which is in large part unknown, particularly by our Christian audience, our Christian community. So we want to go from the known to the unknown, and we want to transition also, as we discuss this subject matter, into the message and words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on that fateful day, Savior's Day, 2014. Let's get rolling. Allahu Akbar. Are there any with their hands up, as we say in Blog Talk Radio language?
No, sir. Not at this point. We on the lookout for them.
All praises due to Allah. What about in the chat room?
No, sir.
All
not
praises
at this point.
Due to Allah. Very, very
yes.
good. All right,
and what
I'm going to turn it over to you, Brother Kareem. You want
yes,
to piece
sir.
Those scriptures apart and
yes,
and
sir.
Discover and discuss the principles, the revelatory, scriptural, and prophetic principles found in these words.
Yes, sir, all praise is due to Allah. And I do want to remind our listening and participating audience, if you are on the phone with us, and you have a comment or a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. For those of you in the chat room, please type in your question or comment. We will most definitely make our effort to share that and get you an answer for your question. Now, all praise is due to Allah. And what you just read from chapter 37 of Ezekiel is chocked full of so much wisdom.
Yeah.
Notice in, just from the beginning, he says, notice the word he used. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Now, if you look at a hand, somebody's hand, when we use our hands, we usually use our hands to move something, to grasp something, to hold it. To hold it firm so that we can make use of this particular thing that we have in our hand, whether that's a spoon for eating or a hammer for nailing. So he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is the Son of Man speaking. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So now this is a valley. Low place.
That's right.
He didn't say in a valley of bones. He was very specific. He used, if I'm not mistaken, what they call an adjective so that you get the full. He said it's a valley full of bones. So that means this is a place where folks have been dying or dead for a long time, long period of time. It's full of bones.
Come
he says, and caused me to pass by them round about. He says, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, notice he doesn't say they were just dry. They were very dry. Again, indicating a long period of time, and since we have established that dry means death or without water or without moisture, which is the source of life, they had been without life, without this water, this moisture, for a long time. We also have to understand that water
in scriptural terms also is defined as revelation or the word of God.
Teach that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, the Son of Man left himself out. He didn't just jump up and make a comment saying, oh, yeah, sure, they can live, or no, they won't live. He left himself out of something he had no knowledge of at that point. And then he says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. Now, I want to look us to look at that word upon, because we as a people and people in general, there's really three states when you are looking at someone or looking at a people that you can look at them, or positions you can look at them from, particularly when you are elevated above or think you're elevated above them. Now, most individuals will look down at someone. And when we look down at someone, that means that we feel that we are superior and they are nothing, and, oh, it's such a tragedy that they're in that condition. And indeed, an individual with that type of attitude looks at the one who they're looking down at in such way as to believe that they, again, are superior and that there's no hope for these individuals. Then you have those who look down on a person or people. And when you look down on someone, well, you have a little compassion for them, and you say, oh, well, it's a shame they're in that condition, but you make no effort help raise them from that condition. But look at what the Lord says. He says, prophesy up on. And see, that's why in the scripture it always talks about, when it talks about God, it says he looked upon their condition. And when you look upon someone or prophesy upon them, that means you do so by God's permission and with his power, with his spirit in mind, with the thought in mind, with the effort put forth to raise them from the condition that they are in. So he says, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now here in verse 6, notice what he says. He gives you a description. I will lay sinews upon you. Now, we discussed earlier in the week how the bones are the foundation of the human body. The bone is what the body is built upon. It's the skeletal structure is what the body is built upon. So if you just got bones but no sinews, which translates to muscle and blood vessels and some fat, then the bones, again, they're dry. They're useless. There's not much you can do with them. Maybe beat a drum or something, or some people, you know, they eat that barbecue, you can suck on it, I guess. But pretty much the bone is useless without the sinew, the muscle,
right,
and the vessel. So-called the muscles allow us our range of motion. And the blood vessels, which carry the blood, which is, in essence, the water in the body. It carries the nutrients and everything through the body so the body can live. And then, of course, you have the fat. The fat is a cushion, but it's also stored up energy so the body can continue to move. And he says, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Well, see, now, if you got bones, and then you got muscle, and then you have the veins and the fat, without the skin to hold all this in place, you're still useless because your internal organs and all that's on the inside would fall out everywhere. You couldn't keep no blood in you, anything. So every aspect of what he's describing is vital. But notice how and the way he describes it, he's describing it from the way that the embryo is formed in the womb. But we're talking about individuals who've already gone through that process and are on the planet. So he says, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, since we stopped there, I want to say this. You notice that word breath keeps coming up. And some individuals think that breath just means air. You know, take a breath. You breathe in. Well, that's a primitive, or that's a basic understanding of it.
That's right.
But in Islam, let me share this very, very quickly. In Islam, the breath is described as an agent upon which the divine permission or idhan of Allah is born. Breath is responsible for conveying the divine attributes from the heart to the various centers of the mind, body, and soul. Breath creates the equilibrium and harmony of the temperaments of the body. Breath carries life-supporting elements from the exterior of the body to the interior physiological functions. So breath is much more than that. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to back up and allow somebody else to share their insights. You know, we have that which we call, if I'm not mistaken, they call it the Lord's Prayer.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
We have to understand, if when you read the Bible as we have it, we have to really understand it. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan let us know that it has to be interpreted so
that's
that
right.
Any misinformation or that you don't misunderstand it. Now, that which we're given as what's called the Lord's Prayer, the language was changed when King James had it diligently compared and revised.
Right. Teach on that, Minister. Teach on
now,
that.
Now, this is how it reads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, listen to this. Most of the time, you hear people say on earth. According to the script, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth.
That's right.
As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
The word bread came in back when King James had it revised. Because according to the original scripture, he said, give us this day our daily breath. Breath. That's why Jesus makes a statement. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when King James and them, they were turning a spiritual prayer, a spiritual direction, and directing the people around into a material level of thinking because they wanted to collect the money from the people. We don't have time to go into the depth of that. And then if you notice, when you hear people say this prayer, they'll say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's not what it says here. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because we do indeed owe to God, Almighty God, Allah, a debt, not only of gratitude, but a debt of duty. That
That's
once
right.
we, who were once dry bones, have been raised up and sinews placed on us, and the skin placed on us, and he has breathed into us of his spirit and made us a living soul, a living being. We now have a debt to Almighty God to now breathe into everyone else that we come in contact with. And that's how I see that. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam.
Walaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Wonderful, wonderful expression and explanation. I want to now hear from our beloved brother, Reginald X. But before we do, just a point of clarity and a small point of correction. That term or word tendon actually means a cord or a band of dense, tough, inelastic, white, fibrous tissue serving to connect a muscle with a bone or part sinew. So this is a connect, not necessarily a muscle in and of itself, but it's a connecting tissue that connects muscle to bone and sinew to sinew and muscle to muscle. How interesting is that? One of the examples they give as we define these words of the word sinew is the source of strength, power, or vigor, as in the sinews of a nation. And that is appropriate in the sense that it is only until and unless we as a people connect our strengths, our skills, our talents, and our resources that we now will become a strong nation. So I wanted to make that point, Brother Kareem. Thank you very much for your words. Thank you for your exegesis. Very, very beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And now I want to move on to Brother Reginald, and after my brother, hopefully our audience will have found their voice.
Well, I'm glad you said that or made that statement. Hopefully the audience will find our voice, because if we remember, and those of us who study the lecture, the wonderful historic lecture that the minister made at Savior's Day 2014, I remember he got real angry and bammed his hand on the rostrum and said, "I don't want no silent Muslims." So
that's right.
When you have beloved Reggie and beloved James and beloved Sister Queen Aziz and beloved Kareem bear witness by we're speaking to whatever, whoever is speaking on the subject that we're speaking of, it's because we're not trying to be silent. We're not silent Muslims. We're trying to show you, with the help of Allah, that the spirit is in each and every one of us, and we must bear each other witness, because that fuels the conversation and fuels Allah's spirit to completely use you to as a vessel to speak through and to you. So please, we don't need no silent Muslims, so please, we want to hear comments, statements, questions, and confirmations on what is being said, because we don't know everything. We don't know nothing. You can put what we know on the surface of an atom and have infinite room. So we need the audience to participate. Now, what I'm going to do at this is I read last night a few excerpts from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on his exegesis into the Valley of the Dry Bones. And it was beautiful that, you know, what you said, brother, you started, Brother Kareem, on what you was teaching on, and it was just, Allah just pointed me in this exact direction, because you mentioned King James, the version, the man who revised the sacred text. You know, he was excuse my language, he was a homosexual, he was a rapist, he was a pedophile, he even had his own mother killed. So we got his version. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, and I'm going to be real quick when I read this. He says, we must understand this, that the Bible translators and scholars of the Christian religion was not so smart in the day when they translated the Bible. They were so bent upon hiding the real truth of the Bible until they erred in the translation, and many things here had to be turned around for your understanding. This should read that he was in the spirit of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord led him out into the valley. Now, remember, you said in the Our Father prayer, it wasn't on earth, but it was in earth. So listen to what the messenger continues to say.
That's the way it should read to make sense. I know you're not going to agree with me. Those who are afraid of condemning the errors of the Bible by the white man is the one who translated the Bible. It was not an angel from no spirit heaven. It was nothing in the world but the scholars of England and America who translated the Bible into English, and they were your slave masters. And then he goes on to speak of the verses in Ezekiel, in which I'm going to just stick to the first four, but I'm going to say what the messenger said. And caused me to pass by them round about, meaning the bones. He sat me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. If Ezekiel was in a vision, the vision cannot be taken as reality. It was not real, but he had a vision of something that was to come, and the vision had such deep significance that the person put in the book that we may read and learn what they have learned from the vision. They see something like a prophecy from the vision that probably will come to pass in the future. If the valley was full of dry bones, the history of the Bible doesn't tell us why these bones were even there. Who described those people that caused this particular valley to become full of bones? Was there a war once upon a time in that valley and many people fell at the edge of the sword or by the edge of the sword and that was the cause of all these bones? Or was there some kind of plague that drove the people together in groups into this valley searching for water or something of the kind that they found in there in the valley? The Bible doesn't say anything about the vision referring to a time when there was such a thing took place which caused the people to die in that valley. All Ezekiel said is that he thought was that he was full of the Spirit in the vision, and the Spirit led him out while he was yet in the vision in the valley, and that valley was full of dry bones. And the Lord said unto Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? He's asking Ezekiel a question. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered very truthfully and intelligently, as you said, Brother Kareem. He said, O Lord God, only thou knowest. If they can live, you the one that knows that. I want you to understand the Bible. Understand the truth of it, and if you preach it rightly so that people will know it. This is a mystery state valley that Ezekiel is in, and a vision. Sure, the valley didn't even exist in Israel. There was no such thing as a valley in Israel at that time which was full of dry bones. Then this is a vision, and it refers to the valley coming in the future. And if so, what valley should we look forward to in the future that's full of dry bones on which God will put flesh? If Ezekiel referred to something to come, then what was the cause of these bones being there? He didn't say anything about a cause. Then maybe these are not really bones he's looking at. Maybe these are something that are similar to dry bones, something that we can use as a picture of something that's really dead. God says to Ezekiel under the exalted name that is given to Christ coming in the last days, Son of Man. Jesus referring to the coming of God of Christ in the last days as the Son of Man. Here is God addressing Ezekiel under that name, Son of Man, can these bones live? According to Jesus Christ, he said that when God comes in the last days, he will resurrect you. The Son of Man will come and the Son of Man will give life to the dead. Then if this is the same Son that God is addressing here under the name or title Ezekiel and giving Ezekiel the title of the Son of Man and Jesus coming about 595 years later, referring to the same Son of Man that God was referring to, then who is the Son of Man? Is it really Ezekiel who is the Son of Man? Is that the Son of Man who is given to give life to the dead in the name of resurrection? We have these things to put before scholars and scientists for their understanding. Now let's see if we need understanding or shall we send for one to come and give us understanding. First, let us listen to what God has revealed to Elijah concerning this chapter. Then if you need another one, send for another one. The Son of Man, Ezekiel, is not, as we would say, a man that the Bible nor any other history can declare to be a real prophet of this book, the Bible. Ezekiel seems to be a foreign man or a man to come. They don't know hardly who he is. The Holy Quran has something similar to his name in it, and the commentators are also skeptical if whether or not Ezekiel is real or just a name used for some great man coming in the future. Why did not God ask Ezekiel, can these bones live? Why did he say Son of Man? We find that in the fourth verse of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it says, Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If he is going to prophesy, and then yet speak to the bones, that is not a prophecy when he says to the dry bones, Hear ye the word of the Lord and live. That is not prophecy. That is not a prophecy of future tense. That's present tense. And in the fourth verse, remember for the first time here, the Son of Man is told to tell the dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. If they will hear the word of the Lord, they shall live. Again, the prophecy of Jesus concerning the resurrection of the dead, he shall know the truth. Here in the fourth verse of 37th chapter of Ezekiel, you shall live. If the truth prophesied by Jesus, which is to come, you shall know the truth, which is the prophecy, now that you will know it now. I can't tell you, but you shall know the truth. That's prophecy. I can't tell you, but he shall send one, and when he comes, that's prophecy. He will lead and guide you into all truth. And I'm going to stop right there. And all praises be to Allah, and those are the words. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the messenger, the exalted Christ, confirming what Brother Minister James just said and what Brother Student Minister, I'm going to call you a minister, brother, because you're ministering unto the people, and always have been since I've known you. Brother Kareem, I'm going to tell you that they have confirmed what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us prior, and this lecture was way back in the 50s. So if you don't want to believe that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the eternal disciple for the messenger, this timely subject of the Valley of Dry Bones, then that's okay to hear it or forbear it. But it will come to pass, and the word is born. Thank you for letting me speak and read that excerpt, Brother Minister James. I thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, and thank you. Thank you so much. You know, one of the statements I made as regards your scholarship, Brother Reginald, and when we were just discussing who was going to be on the show, one of the statements that I made, dear brother, was that I love to have you on the show as a panelist because I can always count on you saying exactly what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the source of it all, said, and in the way he said it, you see, which is extremely important. And then the deeper exegesis that the minister gives to the teachings, I can count on you also expressing that very, very accurately. So thank you. Thank you so much. And, of course, Brother Kareem, the same. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
And so if we can check our audience, their family, to see if they are now ready to give voice to what I know must be going on in their minds, because I know what's going on in mine. All praises due to Allah.
Well,
Brother Kareem?
On the phone, not as of yet. In the chat room, I have nothing
some.
But Queen of Peace. Go right ahead.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, sir.
Woo! Okay. I'm not sure if this is a question or a comment. This is from Kent. Kent says, everyone has an idea what time the world will end and when God will destroy the earth. But history has shown us that it's all history. It just keeps going on and on. 1,000 years from now, the suffering people will still be looking for God, and time will be the only thing that moves on. So I don't know if Kent is an atheist. It's obvious to me that maybe he doesn't believe in the coming of God, and he's just thinking that this is rhetoric or whatever. So let us share with Kent how we know that God came and that God is present and that there will be a difference in the future. And that there is in hereafter. So I'm going to turn it over to my brothers and let you all give Brother Kent some insight into being able to verify what we say we believe and represent. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother James, and let you roll with it.
Thank you, dear sister. All praises due to Allah. And thank you, Brother Kent, for your statement, comma, / question. I think it fits all those categories. And I want to say to you, brother, on the outstart of my response, you have a good point, which is verified in the scriptures when we talk about those words that are placed scripturally in Solomon's mouth, the son of David. He stated, "There is nothing new under the sun." Now, that's a powerful statement in the sense that it means that which was, is, and will be. However, if we are going to believe that everything that has a beginning has an end, with the exception of Almighty God himself, then we know that that prophecy that points to the cessation of the repetition of what has been happening for millennia over and over again is a reality in the Bible and both Quran. You
That's
see,
right.
That which is imperfect, Brother Kent, has an ending. And when you look at the condition of the world, we have to bear witness that it is an imperfect world that's producing and has produced imperfect beings. But the nature, the natural goal, objective direction, and culmination and purpose for imperfection is to ultimately become perfect.
That's
imperfection
right.
is always moving toward perfection. And so you have a good point, but look at it from another vantage point, dear brother. First of all, we're not talking about that religious expression or religion that is referred to. I believe it is in the manifesto of Karl Marx, who was reputed to be a communist, although we have some deeper understanding and knowledge of who he really is, a tool,
That's
and
right.
was a tool at the hand of the international, the manipulative hand of the international banker. In fact,
That's right.
Just let me give this point. In fact, as a professed communist and quote-unquote American democracy being a professed enemy of communism, it was America that financed Karl Marx. Now, I want you to read that. I don't have time to go into it, but you can read it and get its verification in a book entitled None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And you know what? I forgot the author of that book. I've read that book 3 times at least. There are 2 authors, and their name temporarily escaped me at this point. But you Google it. It's called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And that point that I just made will be verified. Excuse me. But in his manifesto, he referred to religion as it was being expressed as the opiate of the people or of the masses. And an opiate is a drug that puts people to sleep. And we have to bear witness again to this reality, that the people who are practicing this brand of religion that has been given us, particularly here in our sojourn for 400 so years in America, have been put to sleep to the reality of God, to the reality of his prophets and messengers, and to the reality most of all of that one whom God would raise to power over the universe and everything in it with the exception of himself. That is the Christ. The Christ, popularly referred to as Jesus Christ. Not that Christ was his last name. Jesus is his first name. Christ is the title that he would be wearing.
That's right.
Okay. But, Brother Kent, you have a good point, but I want you to look at it a little further, dear brother, because this must come to an end by the nature of it. It must come to an end because it's imperfect. Yes, it had cycles where it continually repeated itself, and it seemed that evil escalated, and it did, in both severity and in regularity. But at some point, imperfection cannot remain. It is not an eternal condition. The only eternal condition is perfection, because perfection does not need any change or any cessation thereof. But you got a good point, Brother Kent. Thank you. Brother Kareem, Brother Reginald, if you'd like to weigh in on that question.
I yield to Brother Kareem first.
I can't hear you, Debra. Can we hear? Can you hear him, Sister Aziza, Brother Kareem?
Brother Reginald?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you there? Okay, I just want to make sure you were there.
So yes, sir. I was saying I yield to you if you want to add something to it, and then I'll go after you go.
Oh no, sir. You go right ahead, brother. I'm Brother Student Minister James Muhammad covered that well. I mean, it's really not much I could add to that. That's he laid it out there mathematically. That's it.
that is very, very, very true. And thank him for the question, because you know that's not just a question that he's having. That's a question that many people are having, because you know they look at this as just a circumstance, as time, as history repeating itself. But I just want the brother to know that history, according to the teachings, and I'm correct, I want somebody on the panel to correct me, but we have scientists that write history every 24,896, rounded off 25,000 years in advance, which means we are walking into history. And, of course, stars come, stars go. It's all kinds of things that come and things go. But like Brother Minister James say, God is Alpha. He is the beginning, which we don't even have a trace for. The black man is the beginning, which we have no birth record. So we know we are eternal. And if you go to the scriptures and go to the Torah or the gospel, Jesus said we can have eternal life. And when we seek the kingdom and its righteousness, we are seeking eternal life. When we submit our will to do the will of God, not just our will, but our entire will. See, that's an adjective that people miss in your submission process, the entire will. See, when you submit, then you don't have no problem. You don't even worry about death, because you know you have eternal life on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want, eternal life. And secondly, and this is it, because I'm going to keep it short so other callers come in, but secondly, the world will never end. The world keeps going. The universe keeps revolving and evolving. So there will be no end to the world, but there will be an end to this wicked system of things, which came to a climax in the year 1914, as taught by Master Farad Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and being retaught and revisited to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So this wicked system of things that Satan is ruling, yeah, that's going to end. That has a finite existed. But God himself, and ye are all God's children of the Most God, Most High God, according to what Daniel spoke to us and what Jesus came back and said, isn't it written in your law that ye are all God's children of the Most High
God?
Right. So if our Father is eternal, that makes, and we made in his image and after his likeness, then that means we are eternal. So although we are carnal, we are eternal, and that's a whole nother lecture for a whole nother time. But just know this, that life is eternal when you submit your entire will to do the will of Almighty God, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you may call him, brother, because I don't really want to believe you're an atheist, but that's an atheistic type of question. But you're not atheist because you're from the original man, so I'm just going to leave that alone. All praises be to Allah. Thank you for letting me answer that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Reginald. And before we go to the next question, just the point that I'd like to make from the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that point refers to the creation of a new world. Certainly, it references the creation of a new mind, a new man, a new human being. But it also refers to the cessation of this physical world in the sense that that which is on the wheel,
that's right,
they're cows there, the minister said, but they're not the same cows that are on the earth. He said there's water there, but it's not the same water. He said there are bees there, but it's not the same bee, or they're not the same bees. Where did these bees, cows, and water come from? It came from the earth, the old earth. However, that technology, that beautiful, life-giving, life-restoring, and life-initiating technology on the wheel, actually, when the wheel comes to the earth, it will see the old earth, and that old earth will pass away. And a new earth will emerge out of the old. So in the sense, in the sense of the earth, the material earth ending, it will. But not necessarily because, you know, it's, or the whole earth is engulfed in fire and burnt and left as a cinder, a rotting and burning cinder. No, but this old world,
yes, sir,
the leaves, the trees, the plants, the animals, the insects, everything in this old world, once seeded by the technological germ that is found on that magnificent wheel, it will, the old will cease to be, and a new world, material too, Brother Reginald, will emerge out of the old, because that's a new world on that wheel. And we're not talking necessarily or limiting it to a spiritually new world, but a physically new world as well, because all of the former things, according to the scripture,
that's right,
will,
sir,
pass away. So I just wanted to make that statement of clarity. Thank you, Brother Reginald.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
And let's move now to another question or comment.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking back and forth with Kent. Let me just say this right quick before we take the next question. You know, I understand now a lot just placed it in my spirit. I understand now why some people have a difficult time believing that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah in our midst.
That's right. Come on.
I understand that now because it's hard to identify with someone in Scripture when you can't find yourself in Scripture.
Uh-oh. Come on. That's right.
So my suggestion to you, Brother Kent, and it's very simple, whether you believe or don't believe, read the Bible, King James Version preferably, and find Brother Kent.
That's right.
And when you find Brother Kent in Scripture, then you will know historically that a God came to save you and your people. But when you cannot see yourself in Scripture, when you cannot see how you are connected to the God,
that's right,
then absolutely it's going to be very difficult for you to even fathom the thought that a man walking here on earth is associated so closely with God and the Creator. So we have to find the significance of our life and the purpose of everything that we as a people have been through in order for us to connect with the God. How are you going to connect with a God that you don't even know? How are you going to connect with a God, blonde hair and blue eyes that don't look nothing like you? They don't
right.
even represent anything that your people have been through spiritually, culturally, socially, financially, or any other way. You can't relate to that. And that's why many people, not just you, many people are wavering on faith. But find yourself in the scripture. Allah created you to be here. You have life.
That's right.
And there's a significance to that life. And you are in the scripture. And when you identify yourself, you will know that Allah sent a savior for you.
That's right.
Beautiful.
So do that, brother. Do that first before you denounce God. And come back and tell me he's not real. Okay.
I'll pray to Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Angel says, if Ezekiel had a vision, when did the vision become a reality, and how do you know?
Okay.
Okay.
All praises due to Allah.
Praise.
Okay.
Beautiful question.
Okay, I'm going to defer to my co-panelists, you know, to offer you the opportunity to address that.
Yes, sir. Well, assalamu alaikum, and this is Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
According to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to us, and correct me if I'm incorrect, but Ezekiel's will became a reality beginning in the year 1929 when Master Farad Muhammad directed the construction of the mother plane.
Yeah.
That's when it became a reality. Now, we are also taught that planes of this type were used in the raising of mountains on the planet.
That's right.
Now, the way that we know that it's a reality, I will say this. Again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just finished a 58-week lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done.
Okay.
And, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but from parts 51 through 58, he delved extensively into the history and knowledge of the mother plane, Ezekiel's vision or Ezekiel's will, and he gave specific information and documentation, not just from us, but from what are called ufologists and scientists and leaders and nations around the planet who bear witness to the existence of said mother plane and the baby plane. I would suggest going and revisiting the entire lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. However, in particular, to look into and revisit parts 51 through 58 of that lecture series. Now, for myself personally, I have seen baby planes myself personally. That's how I know that they exist. You know, it's not a fantasy. I have seen them myself, and that's my testimony of it. You know, we don't have the time for me to go into the story, but I have seen them myself. So, and with that, you know, like I said, check out 51 through 58. I'm like,
wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. Thank you for your insightful response, and also for your wonderful brevity, something I'm still working on conquering. All praises be to Allah. Brother Reginald.
Sir, yes, sir. Beautiful, beautiful, Brother Kareem. I can just add just a little bit to that. If we have to understand that the Bible, as taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Bible is 75% prophecy and 25% history. Now, if we look at our current reality and our current state and observe things just as simple, because I know everybody has watched or is watching the news, and also when you're watching the news, one of the main topics or headliners of the news is this crucial and horrible and destructive wintry that we are experiencing in the United States of America. On one day, it was 50 states that were below freezing at one time. Now, that's historic. So if you read Ezekiel, you'll notice that God tells Ezekiel to prophesy unto the wind. Now, as I mentioned last night, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching for 60 years. In 37 years in absence of his teacher, his spiritual father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, the subject that we're taking on tonight is chapter 37. And when you understand that Islam is math, then you'll know that we have to compare a lot of prophecy and we have to use it as symbolic, but the numerical system of the Bible is very important to try and understand and master. For when you master mathematics, you have mastered not the universe, but the universal order of things within the universe, because we could never master the universe. But the reality of what is coming to pass is what lets us know that we are living in the time of the prophets and the messengers and the prophecies that they told us about in the Bible. So you don't just have to stay in Ezekiel. There's a lot of references to what's going on right
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah. We can deal with the laws of Moses and the exodus of the children of Israel. Well, we are in the house of Israel. We are the children of Israel, as taught to us so wisely by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We were told, well, Abraham was told, know of a surety, Abraham, that thy seed shall be in a strange land amongst strange people for 400 years. Now, who are those people? Because the sister was just saying, find yourself in the Bible. We are that people. We have been here in America oppressed in slavery, receiving injustice, inequality, and no freedom at all, or a pseudo or so-called freedom. So that's another reality. Don't just stick to Ezekiel as a reality, although that is our subject, but if you believe in all the words of Almighty God, Allah, which you should believe in all scripture, because all scripture is inspired by Allah. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And we're not spooky here. So we know that when a man of God speaks like he has been speaking for in a 58-week lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done, he's not doing that to gather fame. He's not doing that to gather fortune, but he's doing that because he loves us and he wants to see his people free, liberated, and wise, because we are God's children of the Most High God, Almighty God, Allah. And Master Farah Muhammad, who appeared to us in person, the Emmanuel, he has put us on a course for our salvation, and he has raised one among us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he has left one in our midst to prove or reprove the world of sin. And I just want to stop right there, and I thank you for the question. I think it was an excellent question, and Brother Kareem answered it perfectly, and I just want to add my little two cents. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you. Beloved, all praise is due to Allah. I was hoping to my listening audience and, of course, to the panel, I was hoping that we would get through more of chapter 37 in its actual verbiage, the wording of it, and then we can, with the grace of Allah, you and the listening audience, as well as the panel, give some spiritual exegesis on what is being read that attests to certain realities that we have been declaring on these airways. So, if I may, before we go to another question, I'd like to read a bit more of Ezekiel chapter 37. And we left off with the statement of God declaring, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now, continuing with verse 7, and I want to read, I may not be able to read as fast as you, Brother Reginald, but I'll try to read.
I'll pray you be kept up.
Verse 7 begins, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, the shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them." Now that's interesting. I want us to reflect on, as God restructures apparently the physical anatomy of these bones that symbolize human beings, yet the breath of life in that assembly was not present. Verse 9 reads, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the Lord," or say to the wind, "thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his message on Savior's Day, at the close of his message, he said, "The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad informed him that our people would not change merely by hearing a good word. They won't change." And that's attested to by the condition, the apparent condition of our people after the Son of Man Farrakhan and the Son of Man Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I don't want to say Farrakhan as such. I want to say the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They've been preaching now for 80 years, over 80 years collectively. Have we changed? Have we reformed our behavior? Have we submitted as a whole? No, just a few of us. But look, as Brother Reginald made so very, very clear about the term prophesy unto the winds, very clear. Well, the winds simply mean those forces of conflict, those forces of suppression and oppression, and those forces that cause our people to cry out in pain, joblessness,
That's right.
The lack of proper food to feed ourselves and our families.
That's right.
The lack of housing, the shooting down of our babies, and getting no justice in the courts of law of the white man. These are all winds. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that they're going to increase in severity and in regularity.
Mm-hmm.
So Trayvon Martin, our brother Jordan, don't look for them to be the last. No.
Mm-hmm.
there are going to be many, many more. And why? It is because we have not submitted. We want to cling to an enemy that God has decreed we should separate from. And you find that right in the scripture.
That's right, sir.
It states, come out in the revelation.
Teach
come
that.
Out of her, my people. Here now God is stating two realities. One, he's not telling his people, whomever they may be, and we're going to tell you exactly who God's people is. So he's the point number one is that he's telling his people to come out of Babylon, not integrate into Babylon, not try to make a way in the systems of Babylon, not trying to get a good career or job in the employment world or arena of Babylon, but come out of her, my people. Point number two, which is exceedingly important. He's saying my people. He's not calling all people to come out. He's calling his people, which means clearly and unequivocally that some people belong to God and some people belong to somebody else.
That's right.
As they tried to tell Jesus that they proceeded forth from God and they be Abraham's seed. He said, no, I know you. You can run that crap on somebody else that don't know you, but I know you. Now Jesus didn't say that in the scripture. That's Brother
Come
James.
On, brother. Come on, brother. You better teach it. Come on. To the modern day. Yes, sir.
But he said, I know you. Ye are of your father, the devil. I'm going to repeat that. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall do. He was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Murderer. In the beginning. What do you mean in the beginning? He wasn't here in the beginning of time as such, but in the beginning could mean here by virtue of the very nature of him.
Mm.
From the inception of him, he's a murderer by nature. And if you don't believe that, then don't read history about all the wars that this man has waged and all the countless millions of people, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, male and female, that have died as a result of these wars that were professed to be motivated by the establishment of democracy, but in reality, they are motivated by the wicked international bankers who financed both sides of the conflict. They didn't give a damn who won.
That's right.
No, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall do.
And have been doing, that's right.
And continuing in the reading, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, because when those winds reach a certain height of severity and regularity, you will now have some breath in you, black brother and sister. You're going to want to leave that enemy when you see the condition of powerlessness that he's in. He looks like he's doing pretty good now. But wait a few days.
Stick around. That's right, Brother Minister. Teach that.
And if Allah spares our life, you will see that this man has nothing to offer, number one, because he doesn't wish to offer it to anybody except himself, and number two, he doesn't have anything to offer because God intends to utterly destroy him from the face of the planet. And as the scripture says, yea, the day come when the earth shall burn as an oven and all the wicked, yea, all who do evil shall be as stubble. And he will leave you and them neither root nor branch. Now, when you talk about destroying the root of a people, That means you're not giving him nothing to return with or buy. That's the end. So let me conclude my reading. Then we stood up. Look at the scripture says here. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, what do you need an army for if you're not going to war? And so the minister said, in his historic message, the Nation of Islam's FOI and MGT vanguard as models of soldiers for Christ. When we mention reform, take a look at the FOI, Fruit of Islam, NMGT and GCC, Vanguard Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization class of the Nation of Islam. Dear pastors, I want you to testify to this, that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he used the very Bible that you have in your possession, but you are not following it. And you don't act like you believe in it. But Elijah Muhammad took that Bible and cleaned us up. Look at these brothers and sisters as he displayed us for the public eye. These are young men. They're not dope dealers. They're not wine bibbers. They're not prostitute chasers. Don't you know, pastors, we can turn out men and women like this in the church? Listen good, my dear pastors, if you're on and in the audience. In the schools, yes, we can. The same Bible teachings that you know, you have to put something with it, a discipline. Don't say you're a Christian and you have no discipline. Don't say you're a Christian and you run in and out of the liquor store. This is Brother James now. Don't say you're a Christian, but you can't stop smoking a little tobacco wrapped in toilet paper. That got more control over you than God himself. Don't say you're a Christian and you can't break bad habits. You can't access the God or Christ in you to exercise the power over your circumstance, even as Christ exercises the power of control and mastery and rule over the entire universe? These brothers and sisters, the minister continues, they look so good, so clean, so handsome. Don't disappoint me, he states. But none of us are perfect. We all have made mistakes. Sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fall, but we don't lay down and stay down. We get back up and dust off. These are the soldiers for Christ. Christ needs soldiers. Christ doesn't need people that know how to sing but don't know how to walk the walk. Christ doesn't need people that just know how to talk the talk but don't know how to live the life. Christ wants real soldiers. Why? Because Christ is going to lead us into a battle. The scripture says when they saw him return, there was a sword in his hand and it was dripping with blood. Why don't you preach that, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's not symbolism. That's the blood of the wicked. That's why you sing that song, the minister continues. Onward, Christian soldiers. I like that, he states. Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Why is it as to war? It is not war as such, but as to war. That word, as, that connecting of thoughts, words in a sentence, as, means like, but not necessarily that, or the common popularized understanding of that. It's a war, but it's not a war of carnal weapons. not guns, Mac 10s and the little pop gun 9mm, my young brothers and sisters, that you have and you think are so valuable that they can protect you. Shoot your gun at a hurricane. See if you can kill that with that. Shoot your gun at a tornado. Huh? Shoot your gun at the snow that is covering you and incapacitating you and bringing the enemy to a condition where he can't even get his planes up off the ground.
That's right. Teach that.
Shoot your gun at that. No. It's as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Not talking about no cross that you wear around your neck. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, since this is the emblem upon which your Savior and mine was supposedly crucified, the question is posed somewhat rhetorically. If someone killed your mother or mine with a 45, would you then take the 45 and replicas thereof and wear it around your silly neck? Excuse me. No, Jesus didn't know anything about a cross.
That's right.
So onward, Christian soldiers. You ready to fight? Why is Christ calling for soldiers? Because we're going into, have been, but now exceedingly and undeniably so, into war. Man, I have to reflect on those words.
I'm telling you.
Let me stop right there. Thank you for allowing me that reading.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bob, beloved.
All praise is due to Allah.
Are y'all waiting on me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Woo. Here we go. I got too many windows open. Okay, Leonard says, I hear you all refer to these people as being black. Is it true that it is as, is it true?
Aziza?
Hmm. Okay, her line just dropped.
Can we get her back, brother?
Yes, sir. She's going to call right back in. I know she is. So,
all right. Let's give her a moment.
She does, I'll make her mic live.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. All praise
you. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, Leonard just says that, he says, I hear you refer to these people as being black. Is it true that it could be as simple as good and evil? Why spend time identifying a certain race?
Oh, man. Well, that's a good question. Go ahead, Brother Kareem or Brother Reginald. Sister Queen Aziza, you can go to. If you can subside your passion at these kinds of questions, I know your spirit. I can feel it revving up as we.
I'm gonna try to be good tonight. No, brother. I feel like this. Okay, Lena's not okay. I'm gonna say that. Lena don't want me to answer the question.
Okay,
he does not want that.
I'll weigh in on that, and in response to that, it is about good. It is about good and evil. This is Brother Kareem. It is about good and evil. However, if the color was not important, then let's go to the scripture itself, in wherein it describes, it gives us a description of this Christ in this time, where it says he had hair like sheep's wool.
Teach.
And feet like burnished brass, as if it was burned in an oven. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning, I mean, see, I've been on a farm where there are sheep, and when I get up in the morning to brush my hair, it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And
come on,
since brass is already dark, and then if you know anything about burnishing, burnishing means when you take a polish that has a dark hue to it and polish the brass, which tends to give the brass a darker color, then you burn it in the oven. When anything that's burnt is black. Now, this is a description given in the scripture. But even more importantly, if color is not important in describing, you know, in identifying these individuals, then why in all of the Bibles that we have been given has everyone from the Lord God the Father to the angels, to Jesus, to all the prophets been made Caucasian?
Come on,
see,
right.
there's a problem with that since we know truly, I mean scientifically even today, that they are only, if I'm not mistaken, 11% of the population. So and look at the areas where these prophets and these people came from. Some of the descriptions, if you study some of the history of individuals like Ibrahim or Abraham, Noah, Lot, some of them, they're described as swarthy, which if you look that up, that means people of color. So that's why it's important. We need to identify, truly, completely identify for it. And I'll almost end it with this. If you were looking for someone, and someone who's important to you, someone who has the ability to save your life or to guide your life in the correct manner, wouldn't you want to be able to properly identify who you're looking for?
Yes, sir.
You know, so, I mean, just think about that. And I'm going to close it at that. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, can I answer it real quick? It's going to be real quick.
Go right ahead, dear brother.
Thank you for the question, brother. Just to try to follow up a little bit, just a little bit, because Brother Clean hit it right on the head. Solomon, who I'm sure you probably heard of because the Masons, they, you know, they hold philosophy is built on the Temple of Solomon. Well, he was the son of David, and he said, "I am black but comely." Now, so that means if he's black, that means that his father was black. Okay, now the Torah or the gospel opens up with the genealogy or the genes of Jesus. It tells you, okay, he's part of this family, he's part of this family, he's part of this family. Okay, why is that so important? Why is that just being dropped in the scriptures on us? Then God tells Joseph to take his child and his wife to the land of Egypt. What does Egypt mean? It don't mean what it represents over there now in the Middle East. Egypt means the land of the blacks. Why did he tell him to go to the land of the blacks and not stay in where King Herod was ruling? Why did he tell him to take him? Because he can camouflage against his own people, and the King Herod couldn't find him. Because he was in the land of the blacks, where all the ancient wisdom and all the ancient, in the east, where all the ancient prophets and messages of God came up out of. So we know that color is important. If color wasn't important, then let's take it now to the modern time. Stand your ground. That ain't against the white folk. That's against the black folk. So you got to always keep color in your conscience. What are they doing to the black folk? What are they doing to us? Herod and Pharaoh said, kill all boy babies under two. What you think is happening now to the black man? The black man is being killed, and two is just a symbolic number. Because most black men don't think they'll live past 20 years old right now.
and they're being hauled off to prison. They're being killed outright in the streets, and not just the boy babies being killed. Now, it's the boy girls. It's the females, the black women is being killed too. So black, it should always be in the mind. We're not racist, but we are aware. We are aware. And we know who the real colored man is on this earth.
Come on, brother.
The Caucasian is the colored man. We are the black Asiatic black man and woman of the earth. So we know who the real colored man is. And if color wouldn't have been important, then Michelangelo wouldn't have painted Jesus white with blue eyes. And in fact, since we own that subject today, the movie started, The Son of God. If you go, they rented out all kinds of, every theater rented out, you just closed down the other movies just to show that, you know, a second version of Passion of the Christ. But what color is that Jesus on there? He's a bun-head devil. I'm going to keep it real. That's false. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy and that's mockery of God and God's children. So they mocking us all over again. You know why they're doing that? Because they want us to soften up our thought process at this particular time. Go back to turn the other cheek. But we at war. We in chapter 47 of the Holy Quran right now. We at war. We can't even say a long hadith according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We got to keep our prayers short because we don't want to make them think that we scared to die. We are standing on this firm ground, and we will die for what we live, what we believe in, and we are not racist, but we pro-black because we want to see our people liberated, and we want them to have salvation. It don't matter. It's not about us. It's bigger than us. This cause is bigger than us. There were pioneers that came before us that were black, that they gave us a history of and lied to you and told you Christopher Columbus, a white man, discovered America. Black Indians all over America before even the red Indian even came here. But yet, they want to ward us down. They want to blot us out. So black matters, brother, because when I say Jesus, if the first thing come in your mind subconscious is that white man hanging on the cross, that little soft, milk-toast, sissy-looking Jesus comes in your subconscious. And that was a program. That's been the biggest lie ever told in the annals of history about somebody who we expect to return. Thank you for the question. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Reginald. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Leonard is 17 years old. And he asks that question. And at 17, I can understand why he asked that question. Because maybe he has parents who are probably not too much older than him or, you know, whatever the case may be. But this is what happens, people. We know the nature of the white man. We know that we have been taught that. But we need to consider the fact also that they have not been taught about themselves. And some people, white people, have a conscience. And you know, you got two kinds of white people, you know, two or three kinds. You got hunkies, rednecks, and Caucasians. And the redneck is gonna teach his child to say the word nigger. You know, he's going to teach his child that everything black, everything about being black is wrong, is evil, is whatever. And then you have Caucasians who really, really do their best in serving God and being nice people and being as righteous as they can be. The thing about Caucasian people is this. They're not going to teach their children the true history. They're not going to teach their children that they went, as a people, went into villages and killed babies and enslaved folk and, you know, hanged people and burned people and broke people over the rack and robbed and raped. And they're not teaching their children that today.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have a generation of white people who hear us and misunderstand because they don't know the history. And certainly if our children who are black children are being deprived of the knowledge and the history of themselves in schools now because they have rewritten the history book. Even they are cheating through history in their own academics. So certainly the white people don't know our history. I'm talking about these very young people. Now, I know he probably knew about slavery, but he doesn't understand what all that has entailed. But I'm going to tell him the same thing I told Kent. Go read your Bible. So, and the reason why I'm telling you that is because I don't want you to think that we are a group of prejudiced black people and that we are saying that white people are evil because that's a part of our prejudice. That is not a part of our prejudice. And we don't hate white people. I want you to go and not only read your Bible, but read the history of the making of America.
Hmm.
And then I want you to study the onset of every war that has ever taken place in the earth, and I want you to find who initiated that war. Then I want you to study how many black people, how many brown people, how many red people, and how many yellow people have initiated war, have enslaved people, have killed, have raped, have created a government that ostracized a particular people within its nation. And you come back next week and you tell me who it's who. And then you answer that question for yourself. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right. Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Okay. We got a question from Ambrose. He said that why don't all black Muslims get together and work together since we all know that Islam is the true religion / way of life of Allah? Why does culture divide us? Why does the nation continue to declare that God is Farad? Okay.
Is that the question, the whole question?
Okay, he says, and Brother Ambrose, he says, why don't all black Muslims get together and work together since we all know that Islam is the true religion / way of God, way of Allah? Why does culture divide us? Why does the nation declare that the man Farad is God?
Okay, I'd like to respond, dear sister, to my brother's question.
You please respond, and I'm going to put my phone on mute.
You know, first and foremost, in this question of the unity of the Muslims, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's history is one that clearly, clearly demonstrates that he has strove for unity among, since we're talking about the Muslim community, among Muslims. That question should be more appropriately, we'll address it, but it should be more appropriately addressed to those Muslims who want us to compromise our carnal principle of belief, the foundation upon which we stand. And that is that Allah God appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, July 4th, 1930. Now, we're not asking any member of any other Muslim community that they compromise one iota, one scintilla of their word of faith or their principle of faith. But they ask us as if we are lesser than them, as if we are on the wrong path and they have to correct us. Well, let us look at the broader Muslim world, my black Muslims who are of the Orthodox persuasion, because that's where you take your lead, from the broader white or light-skinned Muslim Orthodox community.
That's right.
Now look, those whom you take your lead from, they have compromised their religion. Yes, they have.
Yes, sir.
They bow more to the American government and its foreign policy than they do to God himself. They war against each other, taking the lives of Muslim men, women, and children at the behest, at the approval and instigation, and I go so far as to say instruction, of America and the European powers. And the Jews, yes, they do. How could you kill a Muslim because he says he's Sunni and you say you're Shia or Shiite? Is that the basis to kill, to spill the blood of your brother? Where is that in the Quran? Where is that in the Hadith? This is why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, three generations after me will not be of me. And if Prophet
That's
Muhammad
right.
were here today and you said, I am Shia, I am Sunni, he wouldn't know what the heck you were talking about. Because if
That's
you
right.
asked him, what kind of Muslim are you, he'll say, there's only one kind of Muslim.
Yes.
One who submits his will to do the will of God. So the Mahdi, look, man, those whom you take your lead from have been off the path. They come into our community. And because we are in a state of jahiliyyah or ignorance as they were,
that's right.
They don't try to lift us up out of that condition. They take advantage of it. So that
That's
they can
right.
add to their bottom line. They sell us pork. Huh? They sell us cigarettes. They sell us drugs. They sell us
Come
alcohol.
On.
They sell us pornography, man.
Come on, man. Come on, brother minister. Minister.
But you take your lead from them. And then you ask, why can't Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam join in unity with the Muslims, the black Muslims in particular? No, we can't, as long as you're taking your lead from the infidel hypocrite. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry for telling the truth. I'm sorry that that is the truth,
That's
but
right.
I'm not sorry for telling
you. That's right.
So it's not necessarily proper that you pose that question to us who are with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. We have always strove for unity with the Muslim world. Always. But we cannot unite with compromise and polytheism that lifts the powers of Europe and the powers of America and the powers of the international bankers and the International Monetary Fund over the will of Almighty God Allah. We can't do that.
Don't forget to speak on the Master Farah Muhammad part two, Brother Minister. Speak on that.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, in your Hadith,
come on.
It says that in the last days, two things, that you will see the sun rising from the west. So what do you mean? The earth is going to reverse its orbit? No, but it's talking about the sunlight of Islam. You will find it rising in the west in the last days. Number two, and I have to move very quickly, You will read in the Hadith that in the last days you will see the Messiah and the Mahdi standing together. Standing together. We bear witness to the truth of that because the Mahdi, Master Farad Muhammad, Allah God in person, standing with the Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They're standing together because we have entered into that which is prophetically referred to as the last day or the judgment. Read your Quran. The Muhammad of the Quran is not necessarily Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah that is being referred to there. It is talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was revealed the scripture, but he didn't explain it. So he could recite it. And others could recite after him, but this book, Quran, says he will teach them the book, Al-Kitab, the Quran,
the
Injil, the Gospel, and the Torah. Well, you can't teach something if all you can do is recite it. That's the problem with the educational system and process today. They don't bring students to learning. They bring students to become masters of quotology and recitation. And based on how well they quote what the professor says or how well they recite what the professor says, then they're bestowed an A or B or C or D or a F. However, that's not teaching. Teaching is when you go new, when you don't just recite the word, but teaching is going into the depths of the meaning of what you recite.
That's right.
Solomon said, as I conclude, get knowledge, meaning pursue education, get to know something. Get wisdom, he said. That's the principal thing, he said, but in all thy getting, get understanding. Why? Because understanding is the practical application of what you have acknowledged, of wisdom of what you have been given. Now, why can't the Muslim world practically apply the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that teaches the universality of Islam and the brotherhood of Islam and what a brother would do for a brother? And it states that you're not a Muslim unless you want for your brother
what you want
for yourself. And a Muslim will never kill another Muslim unjustly.
Bombing mob.
But you got Muslims bombing each other.
In the house of the worship of God.
Killing each other. Destroying mosques of one another. Don't tell me that we have to unite with that. It necessitates the coming of the Mahdi to make those who, after the three generations, were not with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to bring them back to Prophet Muhammad. And if Prophet Muhammad were here, he would not rest until the Quran was established here in America, but he didn't make it to America.
That's right. That's right.
I will send you a warner to a people to whom no warner has ever come. That's not talking about nobody over there in the East, because all of the prophets, messengers, and warners came in the East to the people of the East. I'm not talking about them. Then who are the people to whom no warner has ever come?
Right.
No messenger has ever come.
So he's seen Bilal coming before his people. Come on.
That's a good point. I'm going to close there too, but you make a good point, so I got to highlight it. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that he heard the footsteps of Bilal walking into paradise before his. Well, if he's walking into paradise before him, that means when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, follows those footsteps, he's following Bilal.
That's right.
Now, of course, it's symbolic, and what it means is the people of Bilal, whose skin is as black as soot and hair like dried raisins, they will be the people to reform, to restore, to reestablish Islam as taught by Prophet Muhammad, as fought for by Prophet Muhammad, but the real Muhammad that will absolutely establish the Quran in the world is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and his representative.
That's right.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
So
we can't follow them and sacrifice what Allah has commanded on the altar of our desire to be in unity. We don't want to be in unity with that kind of element. We want to be in unity with those who are with the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him, and all of the worthy prophets and messengers and servants of God. So don't ask us, as I conclude, to put down our cardinal principle of faith and belief. Allah God appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. You say, well, I don't understand. I know you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you lack understanding, get it from those who can give you understanding. And if by your question, the implication is that the Muslim world does not profess that cardinal principle, then you can't go to them for understanding. You need to come to us.
Mm.
God did appear in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We're not saying that the creator of the heavens and the earth appeared in the person of Master, although he did. We are saying that to a degree. But we're not talking about the physical God that was there trillions and trillions of uncountable years ago. No, there's a time problem. Master Farad Muhammad was born February 26, 1877. So it's clear he could not have originated the heavens and the earth. So we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the ultimate.
Sister Queen Aziza, Brother Kareem.
I'm here.
Thank Brother James. Got
Brother James.
Okay, I don't.
Okay. His call dropped.
Yeah, he dropped. He dropped, yeah.
Okay, I'm not the host, so I can't call him.
I got him.
Okay.
I got him. This thing is moving slow. It's not giving me the.
That's all.
Well, I can just I can finish up just a little bit if I may, with all due respect. What he was about to say is Master Farad Muhammad may have not been the originator of the heavens and the earth, but in that man was the wisdom of Allah, the power of Allah, the might of Allah to raise, to come and intervene in our affairs, the black man and woman of North America, which nobody did. Nobody came to help us. But this man from the east who was self-guided, the Son of Man, the scriptures say, as lightning shines in the east, even unto the west, so shall the Son of Man be. And that is who we know is Master Farad Muhammad, Allah in person. So we can teach on that for a couple of miles. We don't have the time to go in further depth, but suffice it to say, we are not compromising our principles and our foundation of what we stand on, because it is that has resurrected us in morality. Assalamu alaikum. Go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Alaikum salam. Yeah, I don't have that icon to be able to call it. Queen Aziza?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have an icon. All it's for me is a search icon.
Yeah, he can't call back in because after a certain time, he can't even call back in.
Right. I understand that, but I'm just saying, I don't have an icon.
Okay, yeah, it's after 10 o'clock. I didn't even know it was that late.
Right.
Okay,
go ahead.
We had a couple of more questions. Okay. Well, this is what we'll do.
Save it for my show.
Yeah, and we'll be back here tomorrow night with the Road to Salvation. So if you want to have questions tomorrow on Young, Gifted, and Black, the subject matter is the Road to Salvation. And we are going to, of course, be probably revisiting this topic as well. So join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. for that. And so on behalf of Student Minister James, we are going to have to close out the show because we went over time and he can't get back in. I want to thank all of you who joined us by phone and thank all of you who worked the devil out of me in the chat room. Thank you so very much. And thank you, Brother Kareem, for stepping in for me.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, always, Brother Reginald, thank you for your participation and undying support. Let me give you the schedule. So tomorrow, Young, Gifted, and Black, Road to Salvation, and on Sunday, Brother Reginald, give them the topic one more time.
It would be me doing a dishonor and a disservice to our Commander-in-Chief if I was too arrogant and carry my show this week as the topic and not continue the Savior's Day message that we all need to concentrate on over and over again. So my show, Theology and the Educational Paradigm, Islamic Mathematics and Mathematics of Islam, will be delayed for at least another week, and we'll continue to speak on the chapter 37 of Ezekiel, and perhaps we can go more in depth of Surah 47 in the Holy Quran, because we didn't get to touch on that as much tonight. So that will, what we'll be dealing with, it'll be either part four, probably say tomorrow part three. Well, Sunday it'll be part four of this same topic.
Okay. And on Monday at 8 p.m. Central, and remember, the show is all next 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. And 8 o'clock p.m. Central on Monday, Brother Kareem says,
yes, ma'am,
that there is no mystery God.
That's right. Don't exist.
All praises to Allah. Okay, and on Tuesday, we're going to have another intriguing broadcast by Brother Jihad, who is doing well and is close to recovery and going home. So we will still hear from our dear brother on Tuesday. And on Wednesday at 7 p.m., DJ Black Caesar and Friends will be back with their hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I'll be right back here, and the topic will be the heart of Farrakhan. And, of course, we're going to have a powerful panel, those who have worked closely with the minister and who really know him best. So join us for that. And, of course, next Friday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James with Put on the New Man, our live study group. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. May we be safe. May we find comfort in our struggles and know that Allah is sufficient for us. We leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Brother
Kareem, beloved.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam. You too, brothers.